It is Monday morning when we often talk with NHPR's Josh Rogers to discuss happenings on the political front right here in New Hampshire. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
So, Josh, last week lawmakers are kicking off year two of this legislative session. This week they begin hearings on new bills, and they've got some hot-button ones off the bat. There's guns, domestic violence, the death penalty, among plenty of others. What's of note here?
Well, all of those, certainly, and a couple more, Rick. Tomorrow, the State Senate's Judiciary Committee will hear a bill that looks to take a number of statutes that often get applied in domestic violence situations, group them together, and establish domestic violence as a separate crime itself. It's a bill that's backed by anti-domestic violence advocates, and one of the people who's expected to testify at the hearing is a woman named Becky Raines. She was the mother of Joshua Savon, the 9-year-old boy killed last year at the Manchester YWCA during a court-supervised visit by his father, Mooney Savon. At the time of the killing and Mooney Savon's suicide, Savon was under protective order due to threats he'd made against his son and his former wife. As you may recall, that order had expired due to an error. New Hampshire's in the minority of states that doesn't have domestic violence as a standalone crime, and this bill, which wouldn't really change current law but allow violence in the home or within an intimate relationship to be treated differently than, say, violence that took place in a public park or among strangers, this bill has bipartisan support as well as strong backing from law enforcement, but it's also raised some concerns from gun rights activists concerning its potential to broaden the situation in which the judge could order guns to be removed from a home.
So this is going to get interesting, don't you think?
Yes, and that's not the only interesting bill related to guns before the Senate's Judiciary Committee tomorrow. The committee is also going to be hearing a bill that would require people with mental illness to be placed on the federal registry of people barred from owning guns. People such as people found incompetent to stand trial, people who are found guilty by reason of insanity, as well as those who've been involuntarily committed to a mental health facility, or people who are under the supervision of a court-appointed guardian. This bill would also set up a procedure to have that person's name be removed from the federal registry if their circumstances changed. This bill has some gun activists really worked up. The New Hampshire Firearms Coalition, which bills itself as New Hampshire's all caps no compromise gun rights organization, is calling it the see a shrink, lose your guns bill. But other staunch backers of gun rights have seen much less of a problem with this.
So right now the state does not supply the federal government with information about involuntary commitments?
No, it doesn't. And New Hampshire's, more than a dozen states are like New Hampshire in that respect. Concerns over confidentiality of health information is the reason often cited by state officials, or the lack of an express authority to do so. And what this bill would do is it would expressly direct the reporting of such information to the FBI. It'll be interesting to see who shows up at these two hearings. You know, last year there was a lot of talk about movement on gun bills, and there really wasn't. It could be a big crowd tomorrow, though.
So I assume you're expecting a crowd on Thursday when the House holds its first hearing on a bill to repeal the death penalty.
Certainly. Supporters of this repeal have been organizing for some time, and they've got an interesting coalition of backers. Liberals, conservatives, libertarian-minded lawmakers, members of the clergy, the bishops of the Episcopal and Catholic diocese, and some staunch religious conservatives as well. With Governor Maggie Hassan, a death penalty opponent, in the corner office, this bill will become law if it gets through the legislature. Most consider it a fait accompli that it makes it through the democratically controlled House. The GOP-led Senate is going to be harder to pick, but most people think repeal is a real possibility this year.
There's always a lot of interesting happenings in the session. Now, before you go, let me ask you briefly about a story broken in the Wall Street Journal last night. That story names the Chris Christie staffer who apparently sought the endorsement of the Fort Lee, New Jersey mayor. Of course, when the mayor didn't deliver, it was apparently, the edict went out in the email time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee.
Yes, and according to the Wall Street Journal, Matt Mowers, who shortly after the November election was hired to be the executive director of New Hampshire's Republican Party, was the person who made the overtures to the Fort Lee mayor for his endorsement. Matt Mowers didn't respond to the Wall Street Journal's request for comment about his overtures to the Fort Lee mayor. Others described those overtures as polite but persistent, Norden Bowers respond to queries from the National Telegraph about his ties to Bill Stepien and Bridget Kelly, two of the Chris Christie aides who've already been fired. It's really hard to know what to make of this at this point. Matt Maurer seems to be doing a decent job at the state GOP at the moment, but his name surfacing has certainly caught the eye of Democrats here and also in New Jersey, where lawmakers are expected to be calling more witnesses to testify.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Rick.
That is NHPR's Josh Rogers, our senior political reporter. He joins Morning Edition each Monday to talk about politics. You can follow Josh on Twitter at Josh Rogers, NHPR.